The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hi, I'm Sif Hyder, the founder of Array. I'm a wellness entrepreneur and digital creator, and this is my show, The Dream Bigger Podcast. Listen, I love dreaming big, but you know what I love more? Actually having the resources to make those big dreams happen. And hey, dreams can sometimes be private jets, but other times they can look a little something like having the best skin of your damn life, or starting a successful business, or delving into spirituality. So on this podcast, I chat with experts and thought leaders from different fields about their tips and tricks on doing exactly that. So let's get right into it. Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Dream Bigger Podcast. So today I'm here with a solo episode, which I'm really excited to do because it's been a minute. And as always, the way I like to structure my solos is very much based on what you guys want to hear most about. So I had put out this little question box on Instagram, and you guys have sent over so many different questions and topics that I want to get into. So based on kind of the most asked questions, I think the bulk of today's episode is going to be like skin, wellness, basically like glow up vibes. So I'm really excited to get into it. So the first thing I want to talk about is my current skincare routine, which so many people asked about. And I'm just going to take you through exactly what I'm doing in terms of products. So my morning routine I'll start with. So I always start with the Jan Marini Bioglycolic Cleanser. So for a while, I was not doing a cleanse in the morning. Instead, I would just do it at night. But I went to see Shani Darden, a few months ago, like sometime last year. And she was like, and at that point, I was like dealing with a little bit of a breakout situation. And so she was like, just start cleansing 2 times a day. And so I went back to that. And that's why I'm using the Jan Marini Bioglycolic Cleanser even in the morning. Now, look, what I do, it's very cyclical. So this is what's working right now. I'm sure things will change again in, you know, a few months, maybe a year. But right now, I feel like I've really nailed down the routine. So anyway, Jan Marini Cleanser. Then I go in with the Shani Darden Sake Toner, I think it is. You guys, this thing is so hydrating to the point where a few days ago, I forgot to use it and I could feel that my skin was not what it normally is. So the combination that actually really hydrates it in the morning is the Shani Darden toner and then the Shani Darden Moisture Boost Serum. So when I don't use these two things in the morning, I feel like an actual difference in terms of like just how my skin feels. Like it feels way drier without these two things. So yeah, I use the toner and then I go in with the Jan Marini Siesta Serum. This is my current favorite vitamin C serum. It's incredibly brightening. It evens out skin tone. I just really, really like it. Like the consistency is really nice as well. And then as I said, the Shani Darden Moisture Boost Serum. So this was an addition to my skincare routine. I want to say like either early this year or late last year, and I've been really loving this product. It was sent to me and I'm actually re-upping on it during the Sephora sale because it is phenomenal. Then I end my skincare routine with the Summer Fridays SPF. So I love this SPF, okay? It lays really nicely under makeup. It's like the pale yellow bottle. It doesn't have any like tint to it, which is something that I actually like because then it gives me an option on whether I want to go completely barefaced or if I want to add on a little bit of foundation later on if I'm doing like a face of makeup. But I think it's a great SPF. It feels really comfortable on my skin. I really, really love it. And it doesn't break me out. Also, the other thing is that I don't like to use a moisturizer in the morning because I find that with the serums and then the SPF, my skin already feels like hydrated and moisturized. And so I don't need another layer. I just feel like that's too much product for me. Okay, moving on to evening. So I always take my makeup off using the Mara Beauty Oil Cleanser. I think that this takes off makeup so beautifully. It literally melts off your face. If I'm taking my makeup off in the shower, then I use the Elemis Cleansing Balm. So I always have the Mara Beauty like cleansing oil in my like bathroom vanity area where I keep all my skincare products. And then I have a separate set of skincare products in the shower if, like, you know, I'm coming back from the gym and, you know, doing my whole skincare routine in the evening or whatever. So those are the two that I love using for taking my makeup off. I feel like both of them are incredible for just melting everything off. And also, I don't really like to use makeup wipes or micellar water if I can help it, especially around the eye area. I feel like it's quite harsh and it tugs on the skin. So it's just nicer to use an oil cleanser or like a balm to just melt everything off instead. Then I use the Jan Marini Bioglycolic Cleanser again. So typically at night, if I'm wearing makeup, then I do one oil cleanse and then two cleanses with the bioglycolic cleanser. If I'm not wearing makeup, I still do a double cleanse, but they'll both be with the bioglycolic cleanser. I've found that a double cleanse has made the biggest difference in terms of preventing breakouts. And I started doing this years ago. It's something that I'll never stop doing. I just think that one cleanse just isn't enough. Okay, and then in terms of actives, I switch between retinol or lactic acid. In some days, I just don't use any actives at all. So in terms of both the retinol and the lactic acid, I use the Shani Darden formula for both. They both come in these bottles. The retinol formula is phenomenal, as is the lactic acid. The lactic acid, it makes your skin look like literal glass. Like, it is so, so good. Also, during the Sephora sale, I bought the Dr. Dennis Gross peel pads again. I love those peel pads. They're really, really good. They're a combination of a number of different acids, and it just makes your skin look really, really smooth. It's an OG favorite of mine. I started using it back in 2017, I want to say, maybe 2018. So it's been a long time that it's kind of been in rotation. So it's a phenomenal product as well if you are looking for an acid-based product. Whether I'm using an active or not, afterwards I use the Jan Marini Rosa Leaf Serum. So this serum I find is phenomenal for anyone with any sort of redness or rosacea or just like any sort of, I guess, like unevenness. I found that it really helps with that. I'm actually going to shout out Arielle Lori because I got this product recommendation from her and it is so, so good. I highly, highly recommend it. I've just found that it's really helped even out my skin. Then I use the One Skin Eye Cream and I believe I have a code for you guys. So it's code Dream Bigger for 15% off. The reason I love this eye cream is because One Skin uses this peptide. I believe it's the OS1 peptide, and it's really unique to them, and it's known for actually treating like aging and like fine lines and stuff like that. So I really like this eye cream. It's not too heavy, so I really like the consistency as well. And then I end everything with the ClearStem Hydro Boost Moisturizer. So again, I love this moisturizer because it is like a gel-like consistency. So it feels nice and light, but it is insanely hydrating. So it doesn't irritate my skin. Also, ClearStem, just as a skincare line, is known for being very like acne safe. So none of their products will ever make you break out. So I really love them. I also have a code for them, which I'm trying to find. I think it's Dream Bigger for 20% off. So highly recommend that moisturizer. It's phenomenal. You guys have heard me talk about my sauna blanket from Bond Charge over and over again. I love that thing. And so I am really excited to add the Bond Charge red light face mask to my routine. So if you're not familiar with Bond Charge, it is a holistic wellness brand with a huge range of evidence-based products that optimize your life in every way. So obviously, you know, I've talked about their sauna blanket and now their red light is a huge part of my routine. And the reason I love the red light mask is because it is so good for skin health, okay? It helps with fine lines and wrinkles. It helps with sore jaw, eczema, migraines, acne, scar tissue, wound healing, relaxation, razor burns, ingrown facial hair. I mean, honestly, the list is endless. And if you guys have had a facial, you will know the impact of red light therapy because typically, like, if you're getting a good facial, they'll put you under the red light for a little while. Red light therapy has actually been reviewed in over 4,000 peer-reviewed studies, with 400-plus being double-blind placebo trials. Not only do these studies show amazing health benefits, not one has shown any negative side effects. So really, I mean, this is just one of those things that is a no-brainer. I put it on for about 10 to 20 minutes. It's either when I am watching TV after dinner, or I'll do it when I am reading. Something else that I sometimes do is I will get into the infrared sauna blanket from Boncharge, and I have the red light therapy mask on my face. The reason I like combining the two is because when you are in the blanket, you don't get to use your hands. And so I may as well just do both together. And then I find that it's really relaxing and that I can go to bed really nicely. Also, the red light therapy mask has both near infrared and red light, which boosts collagen and elastin production. Boncharge ships worldwide in rapid time. It's trusted by leading health professionals worldwide. There's easy returns and exchanges and has 12-month warranty on all red light therapy devices. They have an offer for you, so you're going to go to boncharge.com/dreambigger and use code DREAMBIGGER to save 15%. That's boncharge.com/dreambigger and use code DREAMBIGGER to save 15%. Enjoy.
Hi, everyone. I'm Peyton Sarton, host of the Note to Self podcast. Note to Self is a space to embrace your unique qualities, get grounded, and ultimately have honest conversation. No topic is off limits. I began doing social media 7 years ago, and since then, I've started a clothing line and this podcast. Note to Self is a place where people from every stage of life can come for advice, new perspectives, and to feel a little less alone. Whether I'm recording by myself or bringing along a friend, we will explore topics ranging from relationships and mental wellness to social media and entrepreneurship. Tune in to Note to Self every week for the sisterly advice you didn't know you needed and raw conversations you've always wanted.
Okay, moving on to workout stuff. So a lot of questions around protein powder that I like, pre-workout if I take any, and my favorite workout clothes. So in terms of protein powder, I have been really enjoying the Clean Simple Eats protein powder. I use the vanilla flavored one, and I make a smoothie with that basically almost on a daily basis now. I kind of have like phases when it comes to smoothies. It just depends on the season that I'm in. And right now, since it's getting warmer, I've been craving smoothies again. Ever since I had Kelly Levesque on the podcast, which if you've not listened to that episode, you really need to go listen. I've been doing 2 scoops of that protein powder so that I get 40 grams of protein versus 20 grams. Also, Clean Simple Eats, the one that I have is whey protein. And for me, if it's high quality whey, it doesn't irritate my stomach. But obviously, you know, if you like pea or plant-based, then absolutely go for that. I like whey better. I had Max Lugavere on the podcast, what was it, like maybe a year and a half ago, maybe even 2 years. But he talked about why whey protein is better. We're just getting like a range of amino acids, which we don't necessarily get with plant protein. So I switched over to whey ever since that conversation, and it sits well with me. And so I like it. And then in terms of pre-workout, so I don't take a pre-workout, but what I do really like to do is put the Keon aminos into my water. I just take a scoop, I put it into my water, and then I drink it either before the gym or while I'm at the gym. Now, I've had Angelo Keeley, who is the founder of Keon, on the podcast, and he talks at length about the importance of aminos. But essentially, when we consume protein, our body is essentially breaking that up and turning it into aminos in order to use it. And so when we have aminos, it's essentially like the thing that our body would extract from protein anyway, if that makes sense. So it's really, really good for everything from muscle synthesis to when you're at the gym and you're having, you know, aminos in your water, it actually helps you perform better. Like, it's actually the craziest thing. I did a cardio class at my gym over the weekend, and my God, this was really, really hard. But I noticed that I was able to go a little bit harder and get less fatigued because I was having my aminos. So I really love their aminos. I was a mango flavor drinker, but now I've switched over to the cool lemon / lime, and it's very good. I also think that my code is Dream Bigger. I think that's my code for them. So Dream Bigger for, I don't know if it's 10 or 20% off, one or the other, but again, phenomenal product. Could not say enough good things about it. Now, in terms of workout clothes, so I have a few brands that I rotate between pretty often. Of course, like I would say, 80% of my workout clothes are from Set Active. I love the brand. I think they do really beautiful colorways. Their fit is really nice. And the materials that they use, I feel like they kind of like suck you in the right places. I also love Therese if you are someone with a larger bust. I find that they have really supportive sports bras, which I really like. Year of Ours makes really cute things as well. And then Aloe can be a hit or a miss. I have a couple of things from them which are really good and supportive. You guys know I'm like larger on the chest area. So I really do look for brands that kind of provide that support for me. And so these are kind of the brands that I keep going back to over and over again. Okay, how to deal with stress was another big topic that you guys wanted me to talk about. And I'm happy to get into this because, you know, I think it's an important conversation. And I think something I've realized after running Array now for over 4 years is that the best way to deal with stress is by having guardrails versus correcting when you're already in the middle of a burnout, you know? So it's so much easier to be preventative versus corrective. So what I like to do is, you guys know I have a morning routine, and in it, it's not that every day needs to be a 2-hour morning routine. Far from that, actually. It just means that there's certain things that I have in my morning routine that are my non-negotiables. So no matter what, I'll get about 15 to 20 minutes of journaling in. Even if it's the craziest day of my life and I just get 10 minutes in, honestly, even that is great. It just gives me some time to ground before I'm kind of thrown into everything that the day requires of me. So I find that it's like a really strong grounding practice. Of course, if journaling isn't for you, there's like other modalities, there's breath work, there's meditation. Point is just to sit alone with your thoughts for a little bit of time before you are consuming and kind of being thrown into everything that's needed from you. So I found that that is really helpful. And then I love doing a morning walk as well. Again, it doesn't need to be an hour long. Sometimes I can only get 10 to 15 minutes in, and that's okay. I do like to aim for 20 minutes. And while I do that, I usually listen to either a really good book or a podcast, which just makes me feel happy. So I'm like learning something, you know, it's productive and it's a good way to start the day. I also find that, you know, getting outside, getting some movement first thing in the morning is just, it's really, really helpful. And then in terms of walking as well, something else that I like to do, which also helps with stress, and I've talked about this in the past, is throughout the day, I like to take my meetings while out on a walk, unless I need to be in front of my screen. Obviously, sometimes that happens. But if I can just be on a walk and take my calls, I find that that is incredibly beneficial because not only am I able to think more clearly when I'm out on walks, but also it's scientifically proven that it's better for your productivity and your mood and just like your overall performance if you are going out for walks more often throughout the day. There's a podcast that I really love. It's called NPR Body Electric, and there's an episode in there about how walks are so incredibly important when it comes to our overall productivity. So it's not just a thing that we do for movement or like something woo-woo that people talk about. It actually has scientific proven benefits when it comes to our overall productivity as well. So just our ability to perform at work. So, and I find that that is also like, it's so helpful when it comes to, you know, dealing with stress, because fact of the matter is, if you're just in front of your computer 24/7, I find that it like adds to your stress almost. Also, I have phone office hours. So if you're not already doing this, everyone needs to be doing this, okay? So phone office hours essentially are when you implement, or I've come up with this name for it, but essentially what I do is I have strict times that I am on my phone and when my day on my phone is over. So for me, that is 1 hour after I wake up is when my phone office hour starts, and 10 p.m. is when my phone office hour finishes. So that means that I'm not on my phone looking at social media past 10 p.m. I'm not frantically checking emails after 10 p.m. I'm not on Slack. I just don't like to do those things because I found that in the past, if I don't have strict times in terms of when my phone hours end, I'll just be on there and then it's way past when I wanted to go to sleep, and I've you know, I'm finding myself either scrolling on TikTok or I'm answering emails or I don't know, like I'm just like looking at things that can definitely wait until the next day. And then it bleeds over into my quality of sleep because I'm stressed because I've looked at all of these things and it's already past when I was supposed to go to sleep. So anyway, this has made a huge difference in terms of like even just how I'm able to unwind before bed, my quality of sleep, and just having boundaries around like what I'm intaking. It helps me with stress beyond what I can explain. Also, because I, you know, have a no phone rule after 10 p.m., I sit with my book, I use a Kindle, and I read for about 30 minutes before bed. And I've noticed that it's really helped me be more regular with my bedtime, which obviously then helps me wake up at a more decent hour, or like, I guess, like consistently wake up at a decent hour the next day. So if you are someone who's struggling with your bedtime, I highly recommend you try this phone office hour thing. It really helps. And on that note, actually, I recently got an alarm. I think it's called Lumi. L-O-O-M-I-E. And I really like it. It's a manual alarm clock. And so it prevents me from looking at my phone first thing in the morning. So again, if you are someone who struggles with, you know, having boundaries around your phone when you wake up, maybe an alarm clock is something you want to consider. I've noticed that since I have that, I can even leave my phone in the next room and it's fine. Like I'll charge it in the living room versus the bedroom. And it's just helped me so, so much. So that's another tip. Then I have a strict rule with Nish to not talk about work before bed. Again, this is one of those things, like if I'm talking about work constantly before I'm going to sleep, especially if it's something that's like stressful, like a problem that needs to be solved, I find that it's not productive because we're likely not going to reach a solution in that moment in time. And so then what it does is I'm laying in bed, we've talked about something so stressful, and then I can't calm down and go to sleep. And so then my sleep is shit. And then the next day, I also feel like shit because I've not slept enough. So we have a rule that we don't talk about work when I'm in my bed, which is typically 10 p.m. Before that, if we need to talk about work, absolutely, that is perfectly fine. But otherwise, it will wait until the next day. So I like for anyone who owns their own business or has a high-powered job, I highly recommend having certain rules around when you are going to deal with stressful things that come up from work because it really does impact my sleep. And I promise you it probably impacts yours as well. Okay, next thing, parasympathetic day. So I've talked about this on a full episode, but it was a while ago. So I'm going to take you guys through it. So every Sunday, I do something called a parasympathetic day, okay? And on that day, I am focused on things that will nourish my nervous system. So what happened was for a long time, I would end my weekend and I'd go into Monday and I'd be like, damn, I'm so tired. And it would just feel like my weekends weren't really restful. And the reason was because even when the weekend would come, I'd find things to like fill up my time, whether that was tons of social things or going out and about, running errands, whatever it was, you know, my Saturday and my Sunday would be filled with all of these like things that I was doing. And then I'd go into the week and I'd be tired. So I'm someone who needs structure around everything I'm going to do. And so I was like, okay, I need a day for rest and recharge, like truly, truly. And so that is going to be my full parasympathetic day. That means that on that day, I am not working out. I'm not doing, like, I don't have all these social plans. I'm not taking in content that's going to stress me out. I'm not watching a movie that'll scare the shit out of me, you know, or like just make me like really on edge. I am not listening to crazy music. I'm just doing things that really help soothe me. And also on that day is the day that I do any personal appointments that I have. And the reason for that is that it would be a real source of stress when my personal appointments, whether that's like nails or a massage, would be on a weekday. Even if it was after work, I'd just be like, ugh, like I have just too much to do. I have to go to the gym. And then I also have to make time for my nails or whatever it is. So I found that doing it all on a Sunday has been insanely helpful. So on my parasympathetic day, Typically, what I like to do is go on long walks. So I'm still getting movement in, but I'm getting it in the form of steps and a ton of steps. I like to use that time to meal prep. I'll do typically like a big tidy of the house. So I'm going into the week feeling like really good and my home looks really nice and, you know, clean and tidy and organized. The meal prep thing as well has been a total game changer because for a long time, you know, I would have the intention to eat super healthy and I would, you know, but at the end of the day, I would forget to eat lunch because I didn't have time to prep it. And then I'd be snacking or like I'd have to get food from outside. So I found that having a day to prep my meals, and it doesn't have to be extensive meal prep. It honestly doesn't take me more than 2 hours on like a crazy day. Like I just find that it helps me because I have lunch ready and I don't have to think about what I'm gonna eat. So taking that thinking away from the whole thing has been insanely helpful in terms of how I'm able to nourish my body. I've also found that since I've been really regular about eating lunch, I have more energy throughout the day because I've like fueled my body. And so I don't have that 3 p.m. slump that a lot of us often deal with. So that's my parasympathetic day. As I mentioned, I do not make any social plans on a Sunday. It is very, very, very rare that I make an exception. This weekend was actually an exception. I went out for coffee before getting my nails done with two of my girlfriends. And that was really nice. It wasn't strenuous. You know, I wasn't going out of my way. Even we literally met across the street from my nail place, which is down the street from my house. So it wasn't me scrambling to get somewhere. It was none of that. It was like on the way. It was two of my girlfriends who I love and just it was easy. So this was an exception. I think this is the first Sunday in maybe 6 months where I've had a social plan. But for the most part, no social plans, no nothing. I like to socialize on Saturdays. If I need to, I'll do it on Fridays. But Sundays is my day to just like chill. I love being at home that day. I like going to the farmer's market. I like spending time with Nish. Usually I'll make a nice dinner for Sunday evening. And like, you know, we sit and watch a movie. Then before I go to bed, I will make sure that I plan my next day, like the week if I can. I also do my everything shower on Sundays. And if you're not familiar with the everything shower, you guys, that's basically the shower where everything happens, okay? That means I am oiling my roots few hours before, you know, getting into the shower. I have a hair mask in. I, you know, scrub my scalp. Obviously, when I'm in the shower, I do my whole like hair care routine, like shampoo, conditioner, all of that. Scrubbing my body, shaving everything, moisturizing, you know, like I use the TSC Le spoon to give myself like a little lymphatic drainage. I do that one day too. So everything happens that day. I do like an extensive body care routine. I'm blowing my hair out. I only have time to blow out my hair once a week. So I wash it once a week. That is on a Sunday. So all of that happens on a Sunday. And, you know, by the time bedtime comes, I feel like I've really like actually relaxed. I've had time to just chill and reset for the week. And I've noticed that my sleep is so much better as well. My HRV levels have improved since I started doing this. My heart rate is so much lower. So this just has completely changed, I guess, the way that I operate. I find that it's so preventative around stress because obviously when Monday rolls around, we all have a billion things to do. And just having Sunday to just chill is so helpful. And also, again, if you're able to plan out the week because you've given yourself time on a Sunday, it's really, really helpful. This year, one of our goals was actually to travel less and travel more intentionally. So last year, Nish and I were on a flight, I'm not even joking, at the very most every 3 weeks. Like it was every 2 to 3 weeks we were going somewhere. And I noticed that by the end of the year, I was so freaking tired. I was exhausted. And it's really no surprise because, you know, every time I'd settle into a routine, it was time to like go again. And so this year, one of our goals to kind of protect against stress has been to travel way less. So I've said no to 90% of things that have come my way. And I'm going actually to Paris next week for work. And now because I've been home for 3 months, I'm honestly so excited to go again. And last year, I never felt excited to go anywhere because I was tired, like perpetually tired. I was always excited to come home. So for us, in order to protect against stress, and again, like this is something that happens, I guess, you know, if you progress in your career and you have like tons of like things that you need to do that involves traveling, and you just have to be a little bit more intentional about what you say yes to and what you say no to. That being said, when it comes to the intentional piece, having for us two trips in the year where we're kind of able to like reset is really important. So we typically do that once for Nisha's birthday, which is our ski trip that we do in January, and then once in the summer. My birthday's in August, but honestly speaking, you guys, we cannot go from January to August without any sort of break. So we're actually moving my birthday trip to an end of June situation. And so we've had that planned for months. So those are the two trips. I find that that kind of also is a guardrail against stress, because when I come back from these trips that we do, typically they're a week to 10 days, I just feel so inspired, so excited to like get started on work again. It's helped give me perspective. Also, when you are working, you know, every single day, you're very involved in your business. Like we have a startup, obviously, we do everything. And, you know, we're working in the business every single day. When we have time to leave, it just kind of gives us a little bit more of a bird's eye view. I think it's just more perspective. It gets you re-inspired. So again, that is also really, really helpful for stress. Okay, so those are all of my stress tips. So I hope you guys have a lot to take away from this, because I mean, you just have to learn how to manage stress. And these are all the ways that I do it. So I hope that it's helpful for you guys. Okay, so the next question, this was actually really funny. Someone asked if I actually read the books that I recommend and how I make time for reading if I do. So of course, you guys, I never in my life have recommended something that I don't do myself. So I love reading. Of course, I have time, or I make time rather, to read. And the way I like to do this is, look, number one, it's a mindset thing. You will make time for things that are important, okay? If you value something, you will make time for it. There's no excuse. Like when people say, I don't have time to work out, yes, you actually do. You just choose not to do it because it's not that important to you. If it's important to you, you're gonna make time for it. That's just, I'm just being real with you guys. So in terms of how I like to make time for reading, I listen to books a lot. So if I'm doing chores, like cleaning up, if I'm going out for walks, I'll typically have a book or a podcast playing. And so I'm able to get through a lot just from that. On the weekends, I like to sit down with a paper copy of, you know, a nonfiction book, and I'll spend like 30 minutes or so reading it in the morning. So that's also a really nice way for me to like get reading time in with nonfiction. I read fiction before bed every single night for 20 to 30 minutes. I find that it's a really nice way for me to disconnect. It helps me bookend my day. It like brings me out of my day-to-day into something different. So I grew up reading a ton, okay? It's just how I was brought up. My parents both love reading, and so it was like a cultural thing in my home. And when I went to college, obviously that habit was traded in exchange for like reading textbooks and papers and all of that. And so for a minute, I lost my fiction reading habit. And then I was like, okay, like reading fiction is not the best use of my time. I just want to use it to read all nonfiction. And I realized over time that actually there, like reading fiction is insanely important. The reason is because, number one, there's interpersonal relationships that are talked about in fiction books, which also is something that you can use in your day-to-day life. Number two, we can't just always be on. I find that reading fiction helps me turn off a little bit, and it helps me go into like just a happy place for me. And I think we just need to make time for things that bring us joy, not just things that are gonna get us from point A to point B. Like, just do things that make you happy, you know? And so fiction for me is really important for that. So I always make about, you know, 30 minutes before bed, I read fiction. And with this system that I have where I listen to books, I read nonfiction, and I also read fiction. I mean, last year I read 42 books, I think. Again, this is something that's important to me. I will much rather read over watch TV. Again, this is just me. I know that not everyone is like this. I grew up not watching a lot of TV. I grew up reading a lot. And so a lot of those habits are kind of inbuilt inside of you. You know, Nish is a little bit different. He likes to relax by watching a movie. or a YouTube video. That's just not who I am. So I will use that time instead to read. So that's kind of how I think of reading and any tips that I have for you guys. How do you deal with low vibration people? Okay, so as you grow up, you kind of realize that you are the product of the people that you surround yourself with. And I'm at a place in my life where my time is really precious. And if I'm not spending it with people who make me happy, then why am I spending that time at all? You know, I would rather spend time alone than with people who suck my energy away. And it's not just because I'm at this stage in my career, obviously. I learned this years ago. I realized that I didn't want to spend my time with people who were spending their time gossiping or saying mean things, who were constantly complaining, because as a result of that, I was also becoming that person. And one day I just looked in the mirror and that's just not who I wanted to be anymore. So people who are low vibration, honestly, you need to kind of like phase them out of your life. And you can do this by exposing yourself to new people. So going out of your way to put yourself in environments where you can make new friends. You can honestly spend time reading, listening to, you know, like good people speak. I feel like even that counts as who you're spending your time with. You know, if you have literally all shitty friends, spend your time listening to positive things on YouTube, on like books, and I feel like you will just become a better person. In terms of how you phase people out, honestly, start seeing people who bring you down less. Put yourself out there to find people who you like more. And over time, like as you start putting your energy towards like good things, like positive things, you're just gonna not want to spend time with those people. Like to me right now, if I don't like somebody, I'm not gonna give them time of day. Like my life is too short, my time is too precious. I would rather spend it with my husband. I'd rather spend it with myself, like learning something new, you know, like taking time to relax, reading, watching something good, calling my parents. Like there's so many things I could rather do than spend time with people who are lowering my vibration. And so honestly, like we can do all of the things, like all of the healthy things, you know, you can be cold plunging and having protein and going out for your walks. But at the end of the day, if your life is, you know, filled with people who are toxic and bringing you down, then I think that that's going to ultimately lead to you never feeling like your best self. Put under a microscope all of the people in your life and figure out who is bringing you energy, who makes you really happy to surround yourself with, and just spend more time with them. Okay. So that's what I will say about lower vibration people. Okay. Next question. So one of the questions that I was asked a few times was advice for want-to-be entrepreneurs that haven't taken the leap yet. So I think number one, you have to ask yourself why you haven't taken the leap, okay? Are you questioning your idea? Like, are you thinking to yourself, oh, like maybe that's been done or maybe that's not a good enough idea? Is that why you've not taken the leap? Because if so, I'm gonna tell you guys something. If you have an idea and you haven't heard of somebody else who solved it, it means that they haven't yet solved the problem well enough. And that means that there's room for it. Anytime I'm thinking of a new product for Array, that's the criteria that I follow. I ask myself, this problem needs to be solved for women. And typically, you know, it's me. And then like our customers have kind of echoed the same thing. And then I ask myself, okay, if I have not seen this solution on the market from anyone else, it means that it's just not been done well enough. It may be that some random brand has come up with some solution that I don't even know of, but if they've not done it well enough for me to know about it, that means that it's not been done well enough. And so that idea is ripe. So I think that you should apply the same thing if you are somebody who's been questioning this idea of yours, okay? Number two, if you are thinking, oh, like, I really want to start this thing, like, whatever idea you have, let's say clothes, okay? You want to start a clothing brand, and you're like, I have this really cool idea for a range of sweatshirts, and my God, like, I have this really cool idea for what the brand will be, and the look will be this and that, and it's so unique, but oh my gosh, there's so many brands that exist who already do sweatshirts. Just know that there is room in any space. Yes, sweatshirts and clothing in general is very saturated, but I think that if you have a unique perspective, you can still succeed in that space. Think about how many clothing brands pop up every year, okay? That means that there's room for them, and there will be new clothing brands and new designers that continue to pop up year after year after year. And I bet you none of them thought to themselves, I'm not going to start this because it's too saturated. If you have a unique point of view, it's never too saturated. You will succeed. And even if you don't succeed, okay, like, at least you tried. At least you're not sitting there resenting yourself for never having given it a shot. So, you know, really, like, ask yourself why it is that you aren't pursuing this business idea of yours. And yeah, like, that should be something that you question, and kind of these are, like, my thought processes when it comes to, like, why someone wouldn't go and start a business. The other thing is, sometimes people are held back when it comes to finances or operational capabilities. Maybe you're nervous about how much money your idea will take, or maybe you don't even know where to start when it comes to the operational bit, when it comes to things like, how am I going to get my brand logo designed? I don't even know where to hire a designer, or where am I going to store my products? Or I don't know, like, all of these different questions that we have when it comes to a question, when it comes to starting a business. So I'm going to give you guys two resources. For buying inventory, you guys want to look into Settl. We use them. It helps us finance our inventory. It's essentially a line of credit that you use to buy inventory. And then there's, like, a payback plan for that with interest or whatever. But that's a really good way for you to get access to capital without having to go out and raise money from investors. Especially if you're a new brand, I do not recommend raising money. Please, please do not give up your company before it exists. Of course, there are exceptions to this rule. If your business is a tech company that requires, you know, millions of dollars upfront. But I'm saying that if you are someone who's starting a brand that needs less investment, like, you know, $10,000, $50,000, $80,000, try to do that by yourself, you know, through other means before you go out to raise capital from investors. Okay, so that's Settl. And then from the operations piece, I love Pietra. Okay, I think it's an incredible platform. It has essentially democratized entrepreneurship for people who are wanting to start a business. They have things like, you know, they'll allow you to produce things like your brand logo. They use AI for that. They have a 3PL system where you can store all your, like, you know, inventory, and they can send it out for you. There's, like, all of these things on their back end that are really helpful for people who are wanting to start a business. So highly recommend both of those as resources if you are wanting to start a brand. And then, you know, if you're someone who has just not taken the leap, ask yourself if entrepreneurship is for you to begin with. And honestly speaking, guys, like, get really fucking honest with yourselves, because I know that entrepreneurship is viewed as this, like, glamorous thing. It's not. It's not. There is ups and downs just like any other career. And sometimes maybe what you want is, you know, freedom and ownership within a role without the risk. And if that's the case, then think about working for a startup, you know, because oftentimes in a startup environment, you get to operate as an entrepreneur. So you have the responsibilities that an entrepreneur does. Like, you get to take initiative and work on new projects. And, you know, there's a lot of new challenges. And, you know, you work your ass off, but you do all of that without the risk. So, you know, don't just feel like you need to start a business because it looks really cool on Instagram and TikTok. Like, do it because it's, like, your why. Like, do it because there's something inside of you that you really need to solve, that you can't stop thinking about, that you feel like it's your purpose on the planet to do. Does that make sense? Because I think that with entrepreneurship, unless you are someone who is so passionate about what you're doing, it's just not going to get you through the bad days. You know, like, I don't think that, oh, like, I'm going to become an entrepreneur because the idea of being an entrepreneur is cool will get you through really tough times. And there's going to be really tough times when you start a business. So, you know, when we go through really, really, really hard days with Array, I know why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because I feel like it's my purpose on this planet to help women feel like the best versions of themselves. And I feel like I'm doing that with my company. And so even on the worst day of my life, I will push through. And I know that there's better on the other side and that I'm doing this for a reason. So get really, really honest about why it is that you want to start a business. So I'll leave that there. And then I think I have time for one more question. How do you juggle your podcast, business, life, mental health, exercise? So I talked about this in previous episodes, but I feel like having discipline around what you're doing with your time is really, really important. Okay. So Array, I would say, takes up 90% of my time. The podcast takes up 10% of my time. I also think that at this stage, you know, I've been podcasting for years now, and I've also been using social media for years now. So it takes me a lot less time to do this than if I were to start a podcast from scratch today. Right now, I have help. You know, I have an incredible producer. I'm literally sitting here, Olivia, I love you so much. And I'm part of Dear Media, which is an incredible network that really supports me. I have my EA Mackenzie, who helps me with, you know, coming up with the title for my podcast, who like helps me with so much of the back end stuff in terms of like coordinating my schedule. So I have a lot of help, you know. It would be totally different if I were starting a podcast right now with the level that Array is at. I honestly don't know if I'd be able to do it because I don't think I would have time to pitch new guests. I don't know if I would have time to figure out how to edit and, you know, figure out how to use a new platform and get myself even started on a podcast platform. So, you know, that's what I would say that like, and also right now when I go in for an interview, I'm so much better at it than I was before. Before, it would take me like 8 to 9 hours of prep per guest. I don't need to do that anymore because I've gotten better at it, you know? So in terms of how I juggle it all, I try to do it so that on podcast days, I have more meetings. So I'm already in the process of like speaking while I'm on my podcast because I have to be more on. So it's easier for me to layer that day with more meetings versus like head down work. In terms of making time for my workouts, honestly, you guys, this is a non-negotiable that lives in my calendar every day at 5 p.m. or at 8 a.m., one or the other, typically at 5 p.m., I am going for my workout. I work with a trainer, so really, I can't miss that workout session because I will get, number one, monetarily charged for it. I can't just miss a workout because it wasn't convenient for me. And number two, I know that it's on my schedule like a meeting. So again, I think that when things are important to you, you have to put it on your calendar. And I'm not saying get a trainer. That's not the answer here. I'm saying put it in your calendar like you would anything else, okay? Before I had a trainer, there was a block on my calendar that was there every single morning where I would go work out, and that was just in there. So that meant that I couldn't schedule a meeting at that time. It was before my workday started anyway, but like, you know what I mean? Like that means that I couldn't sit there scrolling on social media because I had this meeting with myself to go to the gym. Same thing when it comes to like mental health was also one of the points that was brought up. I discussed all of the things that I do in the stress category of the episode today. And you can see that all of these things integrate pretty easily into my life. I think oftentimes we feel like, you know, wellness or mental health, like it needs to be this like huge chunk of time that we need to dedicate in order to feel good. Okay, if something is wrong, you know, and you're working through something major, then yes, like that needs, you know, tons of time to work through on a daily basis. But if you're just being preventative and living your life, it just is about finding small things that help you feel better. For me, walks really help with my mental health. My parents' empathetic day really helps with my mental health. Having boundaries around my phone really helps with my mental health. Connecting with my loved ones, whether that's my friends or Nish or calling my family, those are all things that really help me with my mental health. And those are things that I don't have to go out of my way to do. They've just been baked into my day-to-day, and so I'm not constantly thinking about doing them. So I would say that, you know, these are like all of the things that, like, that's kind of how I like to structure my life. And yeah, I think just being really particular about your time, knowing that, you know, there's that quote, like, which is so cheesy, but like, we have the same amount of hours in the day as Beyonce. And honestly, it's true, right? Like, we really do all have the same hours in our day. So it's just about optimizing your efficiency. All right, you guys, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. And I'm going to be doing solos. I think it's scheduled like every 3 to 4 weeks. So if you have any topics that you want me to cover, always, always put them in the comments section, like in the ratings/review section, because I read them and I really value them. And I love you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I will talk to you next week.
Thank you so much for listening. If you loved the episode and feel like it brought you value, don't forget to rate the show and leave a review. It takes 5 seconds and really helps the show grow so I can keep bringing on awesome guests. If you want to follow me behind the scenes, you can find me on Instagram @SifHyder. And don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss a thing. I drop new episodes every Tuesday, so come hang with me and shoot the shit with some really smart people, learn and unlearn, and have a lot of fun. See you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.